Greetings from Nebraska, the other red state in America. Those people up there love the red. I just tell them all the time it's a wrong shade. We do ask an interest in your prayers this morning. It is good to be here and good to be back at Piney Grove once again. It's certainly true to be said that no matter how far we roam, Piney Grove will always be home. So appreciate your always welcoming us back, and very thankful that as we tried to follow the leadership of the Lord and moving to Nebraska, and you all remember all of that experience, and I think about it often, what a blessing it was to be able to make that journey and to go with your blessing, and to as much as I hated to leave, of course, and of course I can say we, Sister Elaine as well, we did what we thought was best in following the leadership of the Lord's Spirit, and feel that the Lord is blessed in many, many ways. And before I forget it, just in my introductory remarks, certainly would like to invite you to come and visit us sometime. I've made that trip enough that I've learned one thing. It's just as far from there to here as it is from here to there. And learn something else too. The more you make it, the shorter it seems. So, there you go. If you have your Bibles with you, we'd like for you to turn with me this morning to Psalm 8. Psalm number 8. Of course, this season is a time that many centuries ago, men set it aside as a time to recognize the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We all know that it's not really so important to know the exact day that Jesus was born. If that were the all-important thing, then we could turn to chapter and verse in the Bible and it would say, amen, Jesus was born on this day. But of course, even at that, the most important thing is in one of the songs that we sing about Jesus' birth and Jesus' coming. We don't normally think of it as a Christmas hymn per se, but it does in the wording, especially in the verse, the chorus, as I remember, it keeps saying, he came, oh yes, he came. And of course, that's the important thing, is that he came, and we're thankful that he came. In our Psalm 8, the psalmist here, of course, this is just a short psalm. He says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man, that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man, that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, all the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. O Lord, as I understand it, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's Jehovah. That's the basically the equivalent to J-H-W-H, Jehovah. That's the name that the reason that we have it spelled like we do is there's a secrecy attached to that name. God's name is secret. There are many things, of course, about God that we know. But there's, as much as we know, there's multitudes times more of that we don't know. We speak of God's power many times, like we know what we're talking about. But we haven't witnessed, you know, God's power, the omnipotence of God, who is all powerful. He's not just strong. He's not just mighty, but he's all powerful, and he has a name that befits who he is as all powerful. That name is Jehovah. And he's not just a display of power, and he's not a dwindling of power. You know, one thing about a man's power is that. Everything that man has ever made that had anything to do with power, that eventually that power is going to become less powerful. And it might just be a little less powerful, you know, but then it'll be a little more less powerful, and then it'll be a little more less powerful. You know, even we as men ourselves, you know, I get quite personally, you know, now at 62 years of age especially, you know, I look at these young guys and, you know, all their weightlifting and everything that they can do to perform well, and I'm not knocking any of that. You know, I used to try to do that. Wasn't very successful. Problem is, I probably didn't have, you know, the right material to start with to get to where I needed to be. But I've come to the place that, and of course witnessed a lot, that, you know, I tell some of those young boys at school there in Cozad from time to time. We have a little conversation, you know, and I talk to them about, you know, their athleticism, you know, and compliment them on, you know, when I have opportunity to. And I always try to think to tell them, and enjoy it while you can. Enjoy it while you can. Because the nature of what we are is that someday that strength will wane, you know, no matter how hard we try to retain it. But that's not so with the Lord, is it? You know, he's omnipotent. He's omnipotent in the sense that he's always been powerful. And he's powerful today, and he always will be. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name, he says, in all the earth. Exclamation point. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. Now, God commands us and teaches us that we should worship him, that we should lift up his name. And that's what the psalmist here is doing. He's lifting up the name of the Lord. God's name represents power. The names of God are such that you know, there were times in the history of Israel, whenever that's all it took to strike fear in the hearts of their enemies, was whenever they shouted the name of the Lord. God's name is still powerful today, and God's name is, he says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Of course, the scriptures teach us, you know, Solomon tells us about how important, what a blessing it is to have a good name. You know, the name that's given us, the name that we inherit from our our fathers and grandfathers and so forth. You know, when we're blessed to have the heritage behind those names, and we can consider our name a blessing, an excellent name, we should be thankful for that. First of all, we should cherish such a blessing that we can walk down the streets of our community, and when people see us coming, they identify us by our name. They said, "Well, there comes Thomas Bond," and oh, I knew his family. You know, he has a good family name. They're respected members of our community, etc. That's excellent. You know, that's a great thing. I think of this verse of scripture, and thinking of this verse of scripture this morning, I remember different things that were said about the name of the Lord. You know, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Have you ever thought about what that verse of scripture, what he's saying? Now, he could have said a lot of things. He could have said at the presence of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. He could have said, you know, at the glory of God, every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow. But what did he say? He said at the name of Jesus. That's the reason it bothers me, and it's so sad to me that in America today, in so many venues, we've cheapened the name of God. You know. Such an excellent name, and we've cheapened it. You know, there's some things that you just don't get used to. There's some things that there are things that I hear today that are coming. He talks about out of the mouth of babes. There are things that I hear from school children coming out of the mouth of babes. And I'm not talking about juniors and seniors. I'm not talking about 15, 16, and 17-year-olds. I'm talking about 5, 6, and 7-year-olds using the name of our Lord in vain. You know, I thought this, maybe that's why this is on my mind. Just here the other day, I had to get onto a first grader who took the name of God in vain. I said, young man, you don't even know what you're saying. You know, that's not nice. I told him, I said, you know, that's an awful thing to say. And out of the mouth of babes. Well, sadly, we do live in a sin-cursed world that when praise ought to be coming out of our mouths, you know, a lot of times it's not praise. But the psalmist is not talking about that. Of course, he says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I think of, you know, when I think of how that God can deliver his people, and I think about the season, I think about those when Jesus was born, there were those who came, you know, and there was, of course, Anna, was it Anna, the prophetess who prophesied concerning this child,
yeah.
and what the child was, that God had given this child for salvation in Israel, and not just the salvation of Israel, but for salvation in Israel. Of course, the babe, Jesus Christ. When Jesus was born, he was born a Savior. The angel said, "For unto you is born this day a Savior in the city of Bethlehem." Thou shalt call his name Jesus. The angel said to Joseph, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Thou shalt call his name," not its name. You know, not her name, but thou shalt call his name. Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Of course, in the scriptures, in you know, bygone days, before the days of Jesus Christ in particular, a lot of names were given on purpose because of the definition of that name, you know, what that name means. Whenever God would name individuals, you know, that name had a purpose as far as its meaning was concerned. And certainly it was true as far as the name of Jesus was concerned. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. There's never been another name like that name. You know, it's a precious name. It's a name that stands out, you know, above other names, and certainly it should, because the psalmist says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." Of course, as far as God is concerned, you know, the only way that we know his name is the fact that he's revealed it to us. And through his names, through a long list of his names. I think about that from time to time, is that whenever this subject comes to mind, you know, our custom has basically boiled down to the point that, you know, pretty much all of us have, you know, three names. You know, mine's Thomas, Earl, Bond. That's kind of accepted. You ladies, when you married, you know, you took on your husband's name, of course, and I guess you could say, well, we've got four names. But most of the time, it's, you know, you're still known by the three names. And those names, of course, identifies. But when we look into the scriptures, you know, if Jesus Christ, or if Joseph and Mary, for that matter, if Jesus had been born in the United States, can you imagine them filling out his birth certificate? He said, well, all they have to do is put Jesus. Didn't the angel say, thou shalt call his name Jesus? That was one of the last names given him. Because you go back into the scriptures and you find all kinds of names that are given to the Lord. I mean, it's, you know, Isaiah gave him several names. You know, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Prince of Peace, and on we could go. And of course, that's the English translation of his names in Hebrew. But when you start looking at it that way, then you know, how are you going to put those on his birth certificate? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Do you realize that the scriptures teach us that as bad as Satan thinks he is, the scriptures teach me that he trembles at the name of the Lord. You know, Satan is a bully. You know, bullies are usually, not all the time. Some bullies, I mean, they're bad dudes. You know, I mean, they don't care. But most of the time, we're told, you know, that they're actually insecure. That's the reason they bully other people. That's their way of dealing with their insecurity. Well, I don't know about Satan. But, you know, Satan loves to bully his people. You know, he loves to push us around as much as he can. And it's always interesting to as we go through Scripture, and as we see even people who write novels and movies and so forth in our world today, they recognize, from whatever vantage point they're recognizing it, that Satan trembles, you know, at the name of the Lord. I remember reading in some church history, and not necessarily just about the New Testament church history, but in reading about the history of the Catholic Church, for one, and not just them, but others, that in their beliefs and all about being able to communicate with the dead, to cast spells or to uncast spells. I don't know what word I'm looking for there, but they all, how they deal with Satan is, one of the ways they deal with him is speaking the name of God, speaking God's name. I remember learning that a long time ago when I first started, paying attention to the preaching in church. I don't remember, maybe Brother Dallas said something about this very thing. And Brother Thomas always been not a little bit afraid of going out in the dark by myself. Just confession time. There's just something about, going out in the dark. It just puts a little fear in. A lot of times, even now, sometimes I go out in the dark and the hair raises up on you, the back of your neck, you get those little goosebumps. And I remember when I was a boy, and whoever talked about the name of the Lord, and how that the priests and all would cast out spirits in the name of the Lord and so forth. And Jesus Christ, of course, he used that power himself a time or two, and at least it's recorded in the scriptures, and I'd walk along and I'd say, in the name of God, I'd see a shadow move and I'd say, God bless you, or something, Hey, I know it's funny, but it made me feel better. It probably didn't change anything, but it made me feel better anyhow. The Lord's name is excellent. God's name is powerful. God's name, I think a lot of times, I wonder a lot of times in our experience here in America, the way things are in society, even in religious society, if people have become such a polite society religiously that we're afraid of the name of God. God's name ought to be a name that's ready to our lips. Not afraid of it, not ashamed of it. We're the, you're here, you're Piney Grove Primitive Baptist Church of God. Have you ever thought about, we leave that off a lot of times? We stop at Primitive Baptist Church. You're the Piney Grove Primitive Baptist Church of God. And that's the most important part. Primitive is, we have a reason for using that. Baptist is important. Those names are important. But the most important name that we ought to be concerned about is that of God. We're identified with the Word of God. We try to live by the oracles of God. We try to keep the law of God. We want to sing hymns of God. So we ought to use the name of God in every situation. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he says, hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. David is teaching us here that however strong our enemies are, God's going to bless us to be up to the task of dealing with them. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies. Might be a lot of reasons why David said that, but I believe that one reason that he said that is because we despair a lot of times over the future of the church, don't we? We despair over the future. I mean, the Israelites despaired over their future many times. And since the days of Jesus Christ, churches have despaired over their future. Of course, a lot of those churches are no longer in existence, and for whatever reason. But the scriptures here teach us, he says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has thou ordained strength because of thine enemies. Now, I'm certainly not one, not saying and will not be one to say, well, we need to turn the church over to all the young people. Young people have their place. They have a lot going for them. But one thing that they'll need, you know, is the strength of counsel and wisdom from those who were once young. You know, David said, I once was young, but now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor the godly begging bread. You know, it takes experience to learn that. It takes experience to really see God's deliverance. But it's such a blessing to see God whenever he brings into a situation, he brings into a family, and certainly when he brings into a church, the youth, and blesses them and when they come, he blesses them to bring us strength. We look to them, and so we should, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Now stay with me on this. One of the things that'll make Satan happy as far as the church is concerned is when we get to the place that you know, all its members are silver-haired. You know, there's just so few of us. We're all, you know, we're just plodding along. We don't have much strength. Might as well go ahead and say it. You know, we're just a church of old people. Well, I've seen a lot of those situations and a lot of those experiences. And God blesses a young family to begin to attend that church. Now, you talk about the difference in night and day. You talk about an encouragement. And, of course, I know I've been there and done that. I know on the other end, when you have a young family, and what an encouragement they are to you, and then they leave. You know, now you talk about, that's how you spell discouragement. You know, that's the definition of discouragement to a pastor. But God, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Then he goes on, he says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. You ever considered God's heavens? I know you have. We bought, or you know, some of our a telescope to view the heavens. Telescopes are nice; they have the place. But God gave us two, you know, to look up into the heavens, to consider God's heavens. When I consider thy heavens, when I consider, a good exercise, if you ever, you know, if you ever feeling down or blue, feeling like God is you know, not blessing you or whatever, go out it on a good night and consider God's heavens. Or if you're a little proud of yourself and thinking more of yourself than you ought to, a little, you know, your britches are getting a little tight because you're getting kind of, you know, go out and consider God's heavens. When we first moved to Nebraska, some of the members took us to a Bible camp that's in that area, and to see a film. And that film was just all it was from telescopes or, you know, both stationary and those that had been sent off into space, and the planets and the stars, just I don't remember how long it was, but it was a good hour at least. And that's all we sat and watched was God's glory on display. You know, began of course with our little universe here around our sun. And you know, we think our sun is so big and powerful, but it's, you know, there are stars out there that it just blows my mind to think about how large they are. When I consider, David said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers. Of course, you know, you've read Genesis chapter 1 where in the creation account, and he made the stars also. Made the stars also. And just all of that, I kept watching that film, and it kept coming back to my mind that God spoke that into existence. It didn't take him 6 million years to cause all that to come to pass. It didn't even take him 6 days. I think it was on the third or the fourth day that he made all of that. Just spoke it in less than 24 hours. Just spoke it all into existence. That's quite impressive. And David was thinking about that. He said, when I consider that, and I think that it's the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, and not that God made them. I'm not a theistic evolutionist. You know, God didn't start some things and let them evolve into that. No, he spoke the worlds into existence. All that I sat there and watched on that film for about an hour, you know, just solar system after solar system, you know, just amazing. God spoke it. Just, there it was, the work of his fingers. David says, when I consider that, what is man? What is man? What is man? And he didn't say, what is a man? He said, what is man? That thou art mindful of him, and the son of man, that thou visitest him. Well, first of all, man's the crown of all of that creation of God. You've heard the expression, save the best for last. Well, that's what he did. I mean, think about it. First of all, he said, let us make man. All this universe that he created. Got it, everything in place for man. He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. That tells me what God thought of man. He didn't make, you know, we can look at the stars and get a lesson about the glory of God. We can look at our sun, you know, and get a lesson about our God. We can look at God's creation in many, many ways and get many lessons about our God. And the Bible uses them. But the psalmist didn't point to them. He says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? God has a relationship with man that he doesn't have with the beasts of the field, that he doesn't have with the stars and the eons of glory out there, that he doesn't have with anything else. What is man, David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? To me, that's the best part. You know, to know somebody is one thing, but to visit them, to get acquainted with them. And that's what this word visit doesn't just mean go to see. You know, if I come to your house to visit you, we don't just think in the terms of that I'm just going to see you. You know, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to become acquainted with you and to let you become acquainted with me. And that's what this term here means, the Son of Man that thou visitest him. God comes to us, the God that spoke this world into existence, the God of heaven, the God of glory, the Yahweh of Scripture dwells in your heart. God of glory dwells in my heart. What is man that thou art mindful of him, the Son of Man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. You follow David? What is man that thou visitest him? Why, he's a dot on 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 a dot. Why would you visit him? You made him a little lower than the angels. But you've crowned him with glory and honor. And you made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. Sister Lane and I, we abandoned pretty much modern TV shows. But we didn't abandon our television. You know, poor thing. You know, we have the Roku. You know what the Roku is? You know, we can watch what we want to. And that's pretty much what we do. Now, my point is that on that, in watching, there's the modern Marvels of Science show. When that was on whatever, we didn't get to see that. But now we watch it, and it's truly marvelous. And there's a companion show to that. I can't think of the name of it. But look at all the things, you know, that modern man has done. And all the technology that we have. Have you ever sat and looked at your computer screen? You know, and all the things that you're doing with it. Have you ever looked at that computer screen and said, "Wow, what a blessing that God could give men the knowledge to come up with the technology to make such a machine out of that which he created 6,000 years ago." I mean, that's where it came from. Your computers don't just drop out of the air. You know? Those who came up with them didn't find them hidden behind rocks. You know, they didn't dive to the depths of the sea and say, "Oh, we found computers." No, God gave them the wisdom, the knowledge to put raw material together that God had created and made. And I'm sure, I believe, you know, when God created this world, he knew that in 6,000 years that men would use raw material that he was creating to make computers out of, and automobiles, and all those kinds of things. But what is man? As smart as man is, what is man? Thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. You know, not just to tame wild beasts, for domestic use or to feed and clothe us, but all those, you know, to make computers, to build automobiles, to build churches, to print Bibles. I mean, just, you know, on and on we could go. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl, the air, and the fish of the sea, whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Exclamation point. We have a great God, don't we? Have a great God. Great God that, you know, Christmas time, the gift-giving season. God's always been a giver. That's one of the things that defines who he is God. He gave us this world, which we've been talking about. Five days and part of the six, he labors to build a world, to build a home for man. And then he makes man. Takes the dust of the ground, forms, breathes into that form the breath of life. And man became a living soul. From the very beginning, God has always given of himself. Given of himself. Therefore, it truly is blasphemous to not give him the credit for his creation. You know, it truly is. Because what he created is an expression of who he is. It's more than an expression of who he is. It's who he is. You know, you hear people talk about men inventing things. They poured their life into that invention. God poured his life into his creation. His creation, he created us for his glory. He created us for his own purpose. And he holds us that way. And the hardest part to understand is that he continues to do that in spite of what we so much have become. In spite of how we respond to all that he's done for us. And of course, in closing, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. In all the earth. Everywhere we look and everywhere we turn, we see the glory. We can see the glory of God. You know, because it's there. A lot of men don't see it because they don't want to see it. Their eyes have been blinded. They can't see it, but it's there. And in closing, in that, you said, you remember he said, the heavens declare the glory of God. Now that's heavens, plural, the heavenlies. You know, from the earth outward, all of that declares the glory of God. This may not be the place to put this in there as an interpretation of what he was saying. But I can't help but wonder if at least one of the heavenlies is not the heaven. The heaven, the place of the abode of God. The heavens, he says, declare the glory of God. Well, the Bible tells me that where God dwells now, it's called heaven. And certainly that heaven declares the glory of God. Better than probably all the other heavens that he's created. Amen? Right. And it's to that place that we long to go. It's that place that the Son of Man visited the sons of men to bless them to become the sons of God. Of course, you know I'm talking about his elect family, the elect sons of God, that they might go to the heavenlies of heavenlies, as it's recorded in the book of Revelation, to praise him, you know, to thank him, and to spend eternity doing so, and to do so perfectly. My trying to do that this morning has been imperfect. I appreciate your patience and your prayers. But I look forward to the day that I can do it perfectly.
Heavens. I like the explanation of that.